The longship sways on the windy sea like a seer in a trance. After days of hard sailing through rain and roiling waves, the crew is exhausted. Their rough, gray-brown woolen clothes are heavy with water, and even though the rain has finally given way to a merely cloudy morning, the July air is cool enough that the drenched men shiver as they sit on chests containing their possessions and amuse themselves with dice games. They had set sail from the western coast of Scandinavia several days ago, bound for the eastern coast of England, a land about whose riches they had heard many marvelous tales from Vikings under the leadership of neighboring chieftains. None of the men in this fleet of a dozen impressive ships have ever yet set foot on that great island, but they are expert navigators and know the signs to watch in the sky and water to guide them west. Sverrir removes a soggy barley roll from his sack of food and takes a bite. The bread, having been threshed on the ground, is full of bits of sand and dirt. Although he's only in his late teens, eating rough bread like this for his entire life has ground his teeth down considerably. He's already lost a few of them. This roll, however, has some of the inner bark of a pine tree baked into it to provide much-needed vitamins to ward off scurvy. Though the meager roll is not enough to fill his belly, he's grateful for the edge being taken off his hunger, as well as the nourishment. In his childhood, Sverrir had grown up the son of a fairly well-off farmer. Although he had been made to join in the difficult, dangerous, and seemingly never-ending farm work when he was still a young boy, and had lived through two separate occasions of bitter famine that left him shorter than he would otherwise have been, he has often found himself missing the relative certainty and security of those days. He had always wanted to inherit his father's farm, but when his father died from disease when Sverrir was 17, he had known that as the fourth and youngest son, he stood little chance of inheriting anything in his father's estate. And he had been right. So, out of hardship as much as ambition, he had gone and joined the chieftain's band of warriors and raiders. Now, at last, he is on his first raid. Still just 18, he is terrified, but eager for the honor that these pursuits will surely bring him back at home. And his leader, the chieftain Harald, has so far shown himself to be a noble, generous, and fiercely clever man. Sverrir is proud to serve him. Sverrir looks up and sees his chieftain standing at the front of the ship, observing the heavens and giving navigational instructions to the crew. This, thinks Sverrir, is how Odin must look when he leads the gods into battle against the giants. Sverrir himself is a man of Thor, and he had sacrificed a goat to his patron god in return for good fortune on this raid on the day before he left home. A gull cries out as it flies overhead. The crew members all cease their tasks for a moment and take notice. It means that they're getting close to land, and soon enough, through the clearing mist, the first faint outlines of the white and green coast of England come into view. The clanking and tinkling of metal can be heard from every corner of the ship as the warriors get their weapons in order. The few of them who own some pieces of armor put them on. Sverrir readies his axe. He and Hauk, his best friend from childhood, who had also become one of the chieftain's warriors, exchange warm words of encouragement. Harald delivers a rousing speech, stoking the flames of courage in the hearts of his men. The ships land, and their crews disembark. No one else is in sight, but if their informants have told them correctly, there should be a wealthy trading city.